Are you struggling with understanding why some prophetic words have not come to pass in your life? Whether you've been waiting for weeks, months, or years, this message is for you. The Lord has you on his mind, and he wants to give his people clarity as to why some prophetic words have not come to pass. So stay tuned. Be sure to share and subscribe to this podcast, and I will talk to you in just a moment. As well. Hello, welcome to Facebook and to YouTube and to Instagram. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I know it takes a minute or two for Instagram to let you guys know that I'm live. Welcome. Today's title is called Why Some Prophetic Words Do Not Come to Pass. So today's going to be a very detailed teaching. I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm going to take my time with it. I'm going to share with you what God gave me for you all. If you want to come back and hear the replay, you can do that on all my platforms. Okay. So let me go ahead and pull up my notes. If you have any questions at any time, feel free to post them in here. I might not answer them right away if I'm like teaching in the middle of a particular point, but I'll try my best to go back up here, read your question, and answer it before I end the live. So thank you all again for being here. Thank you for your patience. Again, my name is Shakita Torres. Today I am doing a teaching that God has given me in reference to So Father, I just thank you for tonight. Thank you, God, for every single person who will get on tonight. I pray that, God, they will receive clarity, they'll receive insight. Oh, Holy Spirit, guide me as I teach your word on tonight to be clear, to be bold, to speak, God, whatever it is that you want me to speak. I just name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. So I'd already prayed before. I've been praying all day, actually since Friday, about this word, okay? So as you guys know me, who follow me, know that whenever I get a word from the Lord, it's always like a story behind it. And so this is no different for me. And so Friday, you know, I was driving and I was pursuing the Lord on some things that he wanted me to pursue him on, okay? So in the midst of that, him giving me instructions on what to do next, he told me, he said, I want you to go live on Sunday and teach my people why some prophetic words do not come to pass. And from there, he began to give me scripture. He began to give me example. He would just flood me with so much information. And I was just like, wow, God, of course I will. Of course I'll go live and I'll share with your people what's on your heart and that you are concerned about them. So for God to give me this message lets me know that he hears your heart. He hears your cry. Many people are discouraged or they're confused. They don't understand and so much more. So today's live is to give you clarity. Many of us are on different levels of our walk with God, different journeys, different ministries, businesses, and so much more, right? And so I know for a fact that today is going to give you clarity about what it is that God is saying to you about your specific situation, all right? All right. So the very first thing you have to keep in mind is this. Did you judge the prophetic word? So about 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave me a teaching to teach you all on how to judge prophetic words. Okay. And it's long, it's about half an hour. So it's on YouTube. So I encourage you, if you are unsure how to judge prophetic words, to go back and watch that teaching. Because the number one thing you need to know is that God, did this word come from you? Okay. So go back and watch that. Also, you can, Google, you know, all right, Lord, just word from you or just, you know, not a Google, but you can go to Google and you can put in how to discern prophetic words as well. And you might be able to find some good stuff as well. Okay. All right. So the number one thing that God told me to address as to the reason why prophetic words are not coming to pass for you is the posture of your heart. And then he began to speak to me about the parable of the sower, the parable of the sower. So I'm coming from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. For those who care to follow me as I read it, you can. If not, you can just listen as I read it. So here it is, chapter 13, verse 1. This is the book of Mark. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Verse 3, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Verse 5, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Okay. But what I love is that, you know, the Lord, he did interpret what he was saying to them about the scripture. Okay. So he addressed three different areas about seeds, right? How seeds can fall on different types of soil, and that soil is our hearts. Okay. So verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Right. And then they said, he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. He says this, and this is verse 13. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be forever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For the people's hearts has become callous, meaning hard. They hardly hear with their ears, and they had their eyes closed. My God. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. Okay. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they do see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. All right. So verse 18 is where Christ goes into, I'm breaking down what the parable of the sower means. Verse 19, so he's saying when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, and in this case today, prophecy, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And so right here, my God, oftentimes we'll get prophetic words that we do not understand. And because we don't understand it, we automatically kind of like throw that word away. My God, thank you, God, for even now, God speaks to me about this word, y'all. And instead of us like waiting on God, pursuing God, asking God, God, this word from you, we'll say, oh, God, that's impossible. You guys, I've been there before. Early in my walk, I received some very heavy prophetic words that I could not see it. I could not hear it. I did not comprehend it. I did not understand it. Okay. It does not mean that the people who gave me the word were inaccurate, but my heart posture was not ready to receive what they were saying. The whole way, I'm like, God, they got the wrong address. That's not for me. I don't believe it. And so that word fell by the wayside for a season. Okay, for a season for me. my God. Okay. Hopefully you are enjoying this episode thus far. Be sure to subscribe. And also, I want to say happy Social Work Month to all of my colleagues. So this month, I'm having a special for Empowered Purpose Academy. So be sure to use coupon code EPA in all caps to get 10% off of all of our ebooks and courses. There are no limits, okay? So stay tuned for part 2 of this episode, and don't forget to subscribe. Verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once he receives the word with joy. Verse 21, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So this is for you who hear a prophetic word from the Lord, and you know it's from the Lord, and you believe it, and you receive it, and you're excited. But as soon as that first wind of persecution comes, you give up. You give up on the word and the promise that God has given you because you can't withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. I've been there too. Well, this is too much. I can't do this. Okay, I'm out. Okay, I dipped out, right? So that's number two, the posture of your heart, the posture of how much you're able to endure. My God. Okay. So then verse 22, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on, okay, that's a third seed, y'all. Let me go back a little bit. So here it's talking about how we hear words, right? But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making the word unfruitful in our lives. And so what happens is, I see this all the time, right? You get the word, it comes to you, you believe it, and you can be the person that like, okay, God, I'm going to work this word, I'm going to plow this word. But because you're not seeing a harvest of that word, and you being deceived by what you see what everybody else has and what they're doing, the word dies out and you give up because what you receiving from God is not looking like what somebody else has, and you're deceived by wealth, okay? Oh, God, it's so good. This is good to me. I don't know about y'all. Verse 23, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is a person who take the word, who digests the word, who understands the word, and they're willing to work that seed, to work the word that God gave them, and they yielded a huge harvest, my God, depending on what it is that God has for them. And so as you can see here in scripture, there are four different types of soil, which is our heart posture. So whenever we get prophetic words from God and we know it's from God, whether it's coming from a person, whether it's coming from, your pastor, your leader, a friend, you can get words through music. I do all the time. Music, your children, whatever it is, right? It depends on the posture of your heart, which determines if that prophetic word will come to pass in your life. So I encourage you to go back and read the parable of the sower, okay? And so tonight, I'm going to address other areas as to why prophetic words do not come to pass in our life, y'all. This is so good. And even today for me, I was thinking the word of God. God was speaking to me about even my own life. I'm like, wow, God, I was just worshiping and all that good stuff. But anywho, back to the word. Look at you guys. It's good evening, everyone on Instagram and on Facebook. Hey, you guys, and YouTube. the second reason why we may not see words come to pass is your lack of faith and unbelief. Okay. If you look at Matthew chapter 17, 19 through 20, it says here, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked him, why couldn't we drive out these demons? So they was like, somewhere ministering. They weren't able to drive out the demons out of the people. And then Christ replied in verse 20, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here and to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So you got a mustard seed is extremely tiny. I seen one before in person one time. I remember I had tried this hair product from this brand called Strands of Faith for me and my daughters. It's for natural hair. And in each order, she gives you like a little, a little keychain or a necklace, something like that, where it's a little bulb, a little bulb. And in it is a very tiny mustard seed. You guys, it's not a lot. It's amazing that God is not requiring for us to, have this huge, humongous faith about something. He said a mustard seed. And as you begin to trust God, God will show himself faithful. He will help you to increase your faith in areas by testing your faith, by answering your prayers. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful, you guys. Okay. So your lack of faith and unbelief can cause you to not receive or see the prophetic words in your life come to pass. All right. So instead, our posture needs to be like the boy's father in the book of Mark, chapter 9, 24, where he said, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me to overcome my unbelief. And so here, you know, Christ had went to go deliver this boy from a demon, and his father, you know, was there. And many of them were not believing that that could, you know, that could happen. But his father wanted his son to get healing and deliverance. And for him to say that lets you know that he battled with unbelief. He battled with not believing God. And we have all been there before, you guys. And so instead of saying, you know what, God, I give up, I'm walking away, I said, God, help my unbelief, Lord. Help me to believe you at your word, God. And that moves God. That would give you strength. Oh, my God. It would give you strength like no other. So ask God, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. You can put it in the chat. God, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief, Lord. Okay. And let me go back a little bit down here. Okay. The third thing here is timing. Okay. Some promises in the Bible took years to come to pass. Okay. So the very first person that came to my mind was Abraham. Okay. So the Lord, you know, had told him that he would make him, you know, a father of many nations. And he told him that he would have a child. Now, as I begin to do some research, you know, some people say that, you know, it took 25 years for it to come to pass. But if you go back a little bit, the first thing that, you know, God told him was that he'll make him a father of many nations was Abraham began to, you know, pursue God, continue to walk in purpose. You know, he got discouraged, like, hey, God, like, who am I going to give my, you know, legacy to? Who going to carry my legacy? Somebody else? And God was like, no, I'm going to give you a son in flesh and blood. And that happened in Genesis chapter 15, verses 2-4. And then, you know, in the, I think chapter 15, the Lord come, he sends an angel to let Abraham and Sarah know by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And so Sarah laughed because it had been years, oh, well over a decade, if not 2 decades of her waiting for her to have a child. Okay. And she laughed. She laughed, y'all. And so he did end up having a son, but it took time. You guys, there are some prophetic words that happen in your life quickly. The one that happened quickly to me is because, like, for one, they're faith builders. God desires to bless us, y'all. He desires to bless us and earn our trust for sure. Also, he wants to, you know, build you up to the bigger promises. But there's some things, you guys, that takes years, whether you're waiting on your healing, your breakthrough, waiting to get pregnant, waiting for God to fulfill what he promised you, and so much more. As you can see with Abraham, y'all, Abraham, he waited. Okay, for a long time. Okay, we can also look at Joseph here. Remember Joseph in the Bible? Also, he said that he had a dream that his brothers had bowed down to him, and that he was pretty much a king. Well, it took that word, they said almost, some say 13 years, some say 22 years for that word to come to pass. But it came to pass, you guys. But he had to go through a journey. He had to go through a process. So I always say the bigger the promise, the greater and longer the journey, the more intense the journey is, because God has to prepare you for that promise, right? Joseph, oh my God, I believe that if God would have moved like any sooner, he would have not been ready. He had to go through, you know, healing. He had to go through forgiving his family. He had to go through, you know, maturity. He was a young boy whenever God showed him that dream of him, of his brothers bowing down to him, okay? And so he had to go through this whole journey of testing. And oh my God, it was a lot. Like, I followed the whole story and taught about that in my series called Seize the Season, right? I also have a book on that as well now, okay? Seize the Season. All right. The next one here is number 4. This is my favorite one, you guys. Cooperation. Cooperation. You cannot expect the Lord to just like fall out the sky and just do this like miracle for you if you're not going to cooperate with him. Okay. What do I mean by that? So, of course, we have unconditional and conditional prophecy. Most individual personal prophecy is conditional. Meaning that if you do this, you do that, God's going to do this, okay? And so it's important that whenever you receive prophetic words, you need to ask the Lord, okay, God, what is required of me? What do I need to do my part so that what you can perform the word you have promised me? And we can look all throughout scripture, you guys. We can see that, you know, the children of Israel, it took them forever to get out, right, of Egypt, mentally for sure, because they were, you know, thinking about what they used to have. They didn't want to embrace the process. They wanted God to do this. They wanted God to do that. But what God told me and revealed to me even the more was that their mindset. Sometimes our mindset has to change in order for us to receive the promise that God has for us, or we will self-sabotage it. Okay, we will sabotage what God's trying to give us because our mindset is not changed. Our heart is not renewed. Our character is not fine-tuned, you guys. And God doesn't want us to waste what he gives us. Okay, because oftentimes our prophecy that we, you know, we see is attached to so much. It's attached to people's lives. And in order for you to, you know, fulfill that, God doesn't want you to sabotage these things. Okay. All righty. So what's the next one I have here? All right. And the fifth one here is disobedience, sin, and rebellion. Okay. And this is intentional disobedience, sin, and rebellion. Now, of course, you know, we make mistakes. We fall short. I'm not saying if you're trying, you're doing the best you can. So I'm not addressing that. I'm addressing the people who are just want to live any kind of way, that you can address God any kind of way and expect to receive this huge, huge prophecy to be fulfilled in your life. All right. So who came to mind for me was Saul. Saul was disobedient to God. He had become arrogant. He had become prideful. Okay. God appointed Saul as king. Okay. And so we look at Saul and, you know, God had gave him the kingship, but he disobeyed God over and over again. And the final straw that God had for him was the Lord told him to go, you know, and destroy the Amalekites, right? All the animals, everything, the children, the everything, go, leave everything there, kill everything, right? He disobeyed. He didn't do that. He did not do that. So God had to send Samuel to, you know, ask Saul, hey, bro, what happened? Like, why are you like, you know, he asked him, like, what did you do and why did you do it? Samuel already knew what he did, but Saul had to verbalize what he had did wrong. So Saul told him, yeah, I did this. Yeah, I did that. And so the Lord gave Samuel this word for him. Pretty much he said, the Lord stripped Saul of his kingship, and he used the prophet Samuel to let him know. So you can read Samuel chapter 13, verses 5 through 14. My God. My God. And then this is what Samuel said to him. He said, you have done a foolish thing. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he wouldn't have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. My God. But now your kingdom would not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, which was David, and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Okay. And so here, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 says, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of adultery. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And so it was not God's will or desire to strip Saul of his kingship, but because of his constant disobedience, his arrogance, his pride, you know, his sin, right? He did not receive the full prophecy. Okay. So that goes back to conditional prophecy. If you do this, then God would do that, right? So don't look at your life, examine your lifestyle, examine what you're doing, and go before God. Say, God, is there any Saul in me? Ask that. Okay. He would tell you, the Lord would tell you. Number six here, and I think it's the last one I have, you guys, is the company you keep can delay or hinder the prophecy over your life. The company you keep. Okay. So you have to be careful who you share stuff with. They can literally be praying for your downfall, or they can become jealous and try to sabotage your growth and your progress. You look at John 10 and 10 says here, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Satan will use anything, anybody, any situation to try to make you stumble and delay what God has for you. Okay. So be very careful about what you share with other people. Okay. Let's look at Samson, prime example. So Samson was called by the Lord to help free the Israelites from the Philistines. Samson's mission will require physical strength. So the Lord made a covenant with Samson that as long as he obeyed the Lord, he will be physically strong. So he had long hair. See Judges 13 and 5. So Delilah was very promiscuous, very seductive. Like she wanted to destroy him. All right. She was sent as a spy to spy on him and get his secret. So Samson began to trust her and he let his guard down with her. Okay. So he confessed to her that he will lose his strength if his head was to be shaved. This is Judges chapter 16, verses 15 through 17. While he slept, she pretty much cut his hair off, draining all of his strength. Right. And so Samson's time was cut short, to be honest, because of him being too open, too vulnerable. And honestly, the lust of the flesh. Right. Whenever we desire something so bad, having the ambition. Right. It can blind us and it can cause us not to see, you know, what's right in front of us. Because clearly, if we can see in scripture, like she was definitely trying her best to destroy him. And he did end up dying. But the Lord, you know, the Lord still got him revenge at the end. I'm not going to go into all that now. But go and read about the story of Samson and how he was deceived by Delilah. Okay. All right. So what should you expect while you are waiting for God to fulfill your prophecy? First thing is expect the word to be tested. Expect it to be tested. So sometimes, right? Well, a lot of times we can get a word from God and it's like, it seems like all hell breaking loose, right? It seems like everything that God showed us is the total opposite of what's actually happening or what he showed us in the spirit, right? We told us in our hearts and our minds, but don't be discouraged. The word is being tested and God's allowing it to be tested. Okay. Expect to be pruned, expect to be cut. Okay. God will have to prune you to prepare you for that promise that depending on how big it is, but the bigger the promise, the more pruning, the more cutting, the more preparation. Okay. Number three, let me see, I said it already. You will get discouraged at times. I mean, we look at David, he's a prime example. Oh my God, we look at the book of Psalms, we could see, you know, how he was up and down. He was crying one moment, the next moment, you know, he was praising God, but he always brought God into his emotions. Okay. So what do I mean by that? Whenever you get discouraged and whenever you feel like God's forgotten about you, do the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. Talk to God. Say, God, I'm frustrated. God, I don't understand. God, can you help me? Help my unbelief, right? Go to the Lord and he will restore you. There's been times where I've been that way. I'm like, God, I don't understand. You told me you could do X, Y, Z. It's the opposite of what you told me. He'll tell me, worship me. I'm like, worship you? I'm like, worship God. I don't feel like worshiping. I'm just being honest with God. And so I'll worship him. And like, I just like a weight, like come off of me. And I feel refreshed. I feel renewed. Right. And so whenever you bring all that before the Lord, expect him to answer you, expect him to refresh you. It's in our nature to want to pull back and not talk to God. So really try practicing, you know, going with the Lord with all you have, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's how you build trust with God. That's how you build a relationship with God, is by really seeking him in all things, even in your negative emotions. Okay. And number five, I put here, expect warfare. You will experience warfare. The enemy does not want the kingdom of God to advance through your prophecy that God has given you for your future. Okay. So expect some warfare. And the thing about warfare is what I've learned is that it can happen in very subtle ways. And sometimes, like, unless it's like for me, when I first began experiencing warfare, I didn't know what was going on. But over the years, as I've grown in Christ, I can definitely see and spot, like, okay, like there's been times when I've had to share things with people that's going to help set them free. And I will get attacked for it. Right. Or my, like, hey, the Lord told me to tell you this, this, and this, and this, and it blessed them. But the enemy was mad with me because I told them that. Right. So I would get warfare. But it doesn't mean I'll be in disobedient. It's because the enemy's upset. That's all. Okay. All right. So if you're still waiting on God, this is how you need to respond. All right. First of all, continue to keep your ear before him. Oftentimes, right, this is what I've learned. So God can give you an instruction or a strategy on how to work on obtaining that promise, right? Is make sure that you're doing everything he's asking you to do in that particular season. Because it's like preparing you for the next season. Okay. So I had to learn that. And it makes a huge difference. And when you do that, you can feel God's grace carrying. You can feel God's grace helping you to, you know, get things done, helping you to be prepared for that season. Because the last thing you want, my God, is to see that prophecy come to pass and you are not ready. Even the littlest details, right? God must say, okay, go buy this. Or get this in order, or do that, right? Please just do it. Just do it, okay? All right. Number two, you can ask God, what are you trying to work in me? And God, what are you trying to work out of me? And so oftentimes, whenever we're going through this journey and we're working towards, you know, our promise, what God has for us, it can be, oh my God, trying at times, and it can be frustrating and exhausting. But what I've learned, even in all those things and every single thing, is something that God is trying to work in you. It could be your character. It could be your patience. Like, that's my time. I'm like, God, okay, what fruit of the spirit am I like lacking right now? Like, what fruit of the spirit, you know, am I, you know, a little immature in, pretty much? It's like your business. Like, you can't expect to start building a business year one, year two, and for it to be a certain place in a couple of years. It takes time to build a sustainable business, y'all. Okay. And so what the Lord wanted to make sure was that my roots were deep. The roots of what I'm building, it has to be deep, so that whenever the wind come, whenever, you know, earthquakes come, right, it's unmovable. It's unshakable. And it goes back to the parable of the sower, right? When God gives you a word, what kind of ground is it falling on? What is your heart posture? Okay. What's your heart posture? All right, the next thing is worship. Oh my gosh, like I said this earlier, whenever we're going through a difficult season or we're going through a difficult time and we want God to move and we're upset, worship, it helps. Your flesh don't want to do it, but as soon as you begin, you know, worshiping God, you feel like this lift of, you know, weight come off of you. Play worship music, right? I do both. I play worship music where I just start praising God, you know, wherever I am, and I feel him give me like, you know, give me like fresh wind in my back. All right. The fourth thing is think on the things God has already done for you. That's scripture. Think on the things God's already done for you and begin to praise him for that. Remember what he's done before. He's the same God today. He's the same God to yesterday and forevermore. Remember that. Think about that scripture, right? Oftentimes, you know, if I'm discouraged about something, the Lord will bring a scripture to my mind. I'm the same God. I'm the same. I haven't changed. I haven't moved, but you moved. He said, you moved because of what you see with your eyes. You moved, right? And then number five, thank God for how far you have come. I think, you know, especially in today's world, right? So many people are so worked up and anxious to get to the next, get this done. And they never take out time to kind of like just sit and reflect and look at how far they come in their faith, how far you've come in your walk with God, how far you've come in reading your word. Like, look at, like, self-reflect, right? And it's like, oh, God, I thank you. Thank you, God, for bringing me this far. Okay? And so remember these things, all right? And so for those of you who are probably like, what in the world? Like, this is a lot. Like, trust me, I've been there, okay? But this is what the Lord reminded me, and I'm going to share it with you all. This is coming from Genesis chapter 41, verses 51. So this is after, this is a story about Joseph, right? How he had went through all that. He went to what, the prison, you know, he was accused of, you know, raping Pharaoh's wife and so much more, right? Oh my God, his brothers betrayed him. He went through it all, y'all. He went through all the seasons, okay? And then in verse 51, it says that Joseph had his firstborn son, and he named him Manasseh. And that means, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house, Jesus. And the name of his second son was called Ephraim. Probably saying that wrong, but that's okay. And it means, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You guys, Manasseh, remember that. Remember that. It is worth it. It is worth it. For me, right, giving up is not an option. Yes, we get tired and we get weary. But think, like, if you decide to give up, all you're doing is, like, delaying the process. All you're doing is having to go back to the beginning, or not always the beginning, but depending on where you are on your walk, right? And you got to get back in the game. Get back in the game. Get back in the game. Start believing God again. God wants to restore your faith today. He wants to remind you that he has not forgotten about you, that you are not, you know, a lost cause. And, you know, if you've messed up, just repent. Go before the Lord. God, I messed up here. I didn't hear you here. I went ahead of you here, because we can get ahead of God. And I know I've taught this so many times on different, you know, things I've taught on over the past couple of years. You guys, go back and listen to it. All of it is good content. Okay, my content, what's the book? It's evergreen. Okay, it's evergreen, right? That means you can always learn something from it, no matter where you are in your life. Okay. And so remember that. Remember that it is worth it. To me, walking with God is worth it. I'd rather walk blindly with God, not knowing what's going to happen, and hear his voice and believe what he shows me, than to be out here in these streets doing what I want to do and walking around, going around in circles like the children of Israel, right, for 40 years. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, y'all. Okay? So, that's all I have for tonight for this teaching. As I said before, I pray it bless you. I try my best to take my time and go through it. And so I'm going to say a prayer. And usually when I'm praying, God begin to speak to me as well. So if he speak anything else to me, I'll be sure to share. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, God, that you're reminding us, Lord God, to trust you, to trust the process, to trust, God, that you have not forgotten about us. Father, I pray for those who have become weary in their faith, for those who have given up, who have thrown in the towel, who can forget the promise, God. Help them to remember that it's worth it. It's worth walking with you, God, and that once everything comes to fruition, God, it will be worth it. It will be as though it has never happened. We will forget our pain, my God, and we'll have testimony after testimony after testimony to share. Father, help us not to get weary in well doing, my God. Help us, Lord God, to be alert, to be sober minded, God. Help us, Lord God, to be discerning, to discern what's around us, to discern people around us who could be hindering what you have for us. Help us, God, to be obedient, God, obedient in the little tiny things, God, that can build us up to the big things, God, the promises that you have for us, Lord God. Maybe it's that one thing that we have not letting go of in our life, Lord, that could be hindering what you have for us. It's a relationship, unhealthy mindset, unhealthy habit. God, help us to see, God. Remove the blindness off our eyes. Help us, Lord, not to be deceived by the enemy's tactics. Help us, God, hallelujah, to seek you with all things, Lord, to not forsake wise wisdom, to not forsake correction. Help us, God, to be wise in everything that we do, and we continue to walk, God, as leaders, God. Even the babes in Christ, God, help them to understand that, God, it's a journey to get to the promise. Because just like you showed Joseph when he was only a teenager, God, what you have for him, you're doing the same thing today for your children, my God, to give us a hope for a future, to give us something to stand on and to hope for and to believe in and to work towards, Lord. So, God, we love you tonight. God, give you the glory, the honor, and praise. I just say my prayer. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, I'm just remembering, you know, when I first gave my life to Christ, y'all, the Lord began to speak to me about some things pretty quickly. And, you know, at first I'm like, God, it ain't coming to pass, but I was just like Joseph, like, dang, like, where is it? Like, where's that? But it took time. God is doing the work, and he is still doing the work in me and the work in you, right? Even after you get the promise, you got, it's still work. It's still, you know, God still has to continue to, you know, work some things out in you. All right. So thank you all for who were able to get on tonight. I pray that tonight blessed you. Hope you had a great weekend, and I will see you guys next time. All right. Thank you for being here and being a part of the Pain, Passion, and Purpose podcast community. Be sure to visit www.shaquitatorres.com and subscribe to my email list, where I'm sharing content with you all every single week. Thanks again for being here, and be sure to leave us 5 stars and let us know what your thoughts are. Talk to you soon.